This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us this afternoon. I'm Jason Kong, here with Carson Sellers in for Mary Lucas this week. Carson, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really happy to be here. I know Mary needed some time off, so I'm looking forward to filling in.
Well, we've got someone very dutifully filling in her shoes today, so we appreciate you doing some of the heavy lifting here, Carson. And we've got a great show lined up. We're going to be talking a lot about elder care and everything associated with that. And we're very pleased to have on the line with us today, Amy Friesen. She is founder and CEO of Tea and Toast and also a best-selling author. Amy, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Jason and Carson. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it too. Carson, where should we start?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Amy, we know that you have a very impressive background in the industry. So let's just start pretty basics. After spending 20 years in the senior care space, can you tell us a little bit about your journey and just what inspired you to focus on this area of caregiving?
Absolutely. I started my journey not actually knowing where I wanted to be, and I kind of fell in love with the senior living industry. And after being in the retirement homes as a marketer for almost 10 years, I really found that caregivers didn't really know what they were looking for. And the seniors in their lives were starting to be impacted by these types of decisions because they didn't know where to go for care. They didn't know what they were asking for. And so there's an opportunity for me to start a business, and I really dove into that feet first. And we love to lead with education and resources because, let's face it, the senior living world is very complicated. Aging for all of us is very complicated, and let's make it a little bit easier on people.
Absolutely. That's really important to recognize. So with this business, so you're the founder of Tea and Toast and you're the host of the Artful Aging podcast. How did these platforms come about and what role do they play in supporting caregivers?
I think that each piece that we offer and that I've put out there is in this service of educating caregivers and seniors. And, you know, people intake their information in different ways. And so, you know, our team at Tea and Toast can service people very hands-on, very much like, you know, a rent-a-daughter almost, or, you know, right there with them the whole step of the way, holding their hands. And other resources like the podcast is great for audio and visual learning as well. And then things like the book and the downloadable resources and courses are great for people that take in their information through reading and different learning. And I learned that on my own path from my own personal experiences. And so I like to put out education and resources to support caregivers wherever they are, because you know what? They don't need any more hurdles to get education. So let's make it a little bit easier and give them a lot of different formats to intake this.
Yeah, absolutely. Rent a daughter. I like that one. Sounds like you're covering all the bases with the resources that you supply, so that's great. When it comes to your book, Breadcrumbs, what was your main motivation for writing this book, and what do you hope is the main takeaway for your readers?
Well, we have a lot of people in our communities that are not ready for the full experience. They're not ready to jump in. I can tell you, I've done multiple different trade shows and different speaking and things like that. And if you talk about elder care or ask people questions about it, no matter how lightly you do it, people put their head in the sand like an ostrich. And so, or they run past you because they don't want to talk about it. But unfortunately, from my experience, I know that, you know, they're just kind of delaying the inevitable because they're not wanting to think about it. Therefore, they're not going to want to plan for it. Therefore, they're going to end up in some sort of crisis is what we've seen a lot of. So, you know, the best thing I can tell caregivers is that they're not alone. And using breadcrumbs as another venue for education, this really gets to them in a different spot. You know, Nobody knows when you're picking up a book. Nobody knows what you're reading in your spare time. You can just read it on your own time. And that way you're, you know, taking in the information at the bite-sized pieces that they need without having, you know, have to contact someone and get people following up all the time and looking in and, hey, how are you doing? Lots of caregivers aren't there yet, but that doesn't mean they don't need the information.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that that's definitely a tough topic for people to talk about. So, I mean, it's really nice to take it in ways that they can digest and understand. So, one of the topics that you speak about is breaking the ice on these tough care conversations. So what are some compassionate ways to begin these difficult conversations with aging loved ones or family members?
You know, most caregivers these days, I mean, there's definitely caregivers that are just caring for aging parents and they're just caring for young ones, but lots are in the sandwich generation, right? And many of these sandwich generation caregivers are simultaneously having the birds and the bees talks as well as these talks of elder care. Right. And so these talks are very heavy, right, on both ends. And so I would say that, you know, to break the ice and to do these conversations, I would say in both ends, although I'm not any expert in on the children's side, although I do have a 6-year-old, so I'm expecting that to come anytime. I would say, you know, don't surprise people. Right? People don't want to be at a Thanksgiving dinner and all of a sudden be like, hey, mom, I think you should move out of your house, or I think you should bring in care. And it's like, I was just putting the mashed potatoes on the table. So, the you know, those things go a long way by not surprising people. Ask permission. Hey, mom, you know, I'm really kind of concerned about the stairs in your house. Could we have a talk about this and see if we could problem solve together? And really, don't be afraid of telling people that you're having a hard time too and that it's awkward, because these talks of elder care are really awkward and a lot of people don't want to broach them. So I like to just go head on and I like to use humor, you know, this is an awkward conversation for me. Let's just get through it. Let's bang this off and we'll talk about something else in like 10 minutes, right? And just, and do it in bite-sized pieces so that people aren't so overwhelmed. It's not all of this information coming at them when really we know most people don't want to talk about it at all.
Absolutely. So in addition to the awkwardness, in your experience, what are some of the more common obstacles people face when having these conversations? And what are some good ways to overcome them in addition to using humor?
I would tell you that one of the main obstacles is really just people shutting down. Right. That is the largest obstacle that people are coming through that I've seen, is that people, you know, the children will come to their parents and say, can we have a conversation? And they'll just say no. Like, it's just, people just don't want to have these conversations, especially when it's about money. Let's face it, like, you know, a lot of us have been raised where our parents didn't talk about money, right? And they didn't want to go into that. And now we're basically asking them to show all of their cards in elder care. Let's talk about your medicine. Let's talk about money. Let's talk about where you're living. Let's talk about your incontinence. Let's talk about all this stuff. Nobody wants to talk about any of that. So general shutdown is what we see a lot of. And the frame of reference is what I often talk to people about as well. And it's really trying to get into a mindset of, why is your loved one not having this conversation? Where are they coming from? You know, what have they learned throughout their life that has shaped the way that they think of things, and come at it from another way. So using the frame of reference really is a good way to start overcoming them, the obstacles, because honestly, a lot of people, a lot of seniors right now, 80 and 90 year olds, you know, they've lived through a lot of stuff. A lot of people have been very frugal with their money, for instance, or they don't talk about mental health because that's not what happened when they grew up. And so that's one of the ways to overcome it, is really just kind of get in the same lane as your loved one and really learn where they're coming from, because I think that you can really address concerns much better if you're showing that type of empathy to them.
That's great advice. You know, taking that time to put yourself in someone else's shoes, and to your point, that empathy, and, you know, that can help you avoid some of these potential landmines that we tend to see in these conversations. We are speaking with Amy Friesen. She is founder and CEO of Tea and Toast and best-selling author, and we're going to continue our conversation with her. I promise I'm not shutting this conversation down. We're just taking a quick break, and we'll be back with some more. Stick around. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680 WPTF, news, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com with your hosts, Mary Lucas and Jason Kong.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Hey, if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to go online to transitionslifecare.org. Transitionslifecare.org. There's so many resources available to you online, contact information, even career opportunities for you. Check it out, transitionslifecare.org. I am Jason Kong here with Carson Sellers, who's filling in for Mary Lucas today, and we are having a very enlightening conversation with Amy Friesen. She is founder and CEO of Tea and Toast and a best-selling author, and we're discussing elder care. And Carson, just before we had to wrap up the first segment, we were kind of backing our way into some difficult and challenging conversations and ways to approach those. And within that, we kind of broached the topic a little bit of finances, which can be a very tricky conversation in and of itself.
Absolutely, yeah. So we all know the financial side of senior care can be very overwhelming for many families. What would you say are some key strategies for navigating the senior care money maze, especially when it comes to government subsidies and private pay options?
I would tell you that depending on where people live, there's different things that are available to them, and it can be very challenging to find subsidies and different things. And so my advice always, because I come from that background, is education and looking for those answers and talking to professionals in the housing sector specifically when you're talking about long-term care, when you're talking about retirement options and things like that. You really need to have an idea right from the specific professionals. And my kind of example of that is that, you know, in the healthcare sector, a lot of people get advice from doctors about senior living, and the doctors say X and Y, and they're not getting the actual real information from housing professionals. And so all of us have a profession that we excel in and that we do every day. And I think that the information right from, you know, the horse's mouth is much better, very direct. And that way you can really understand what those finances might look like and what's available to you for government subsidies and things like that. In Canada, we have the disability tax credit, for instance, that a lot of people don't know about, but it is a type of, it's a tax credit, but it's like a type of subsidy for people who need it. And so just getting those pieces together. And that's why all of us kind of exist in this industry, just to help, right? So really getting that information directly from wherever you're looking, in this case, in senior housing. So whether it's long-term care or retirement, directly from those professionals.
Right, absolutely. So for those who don't get their information directly, what would you say are some of the most common misconceptions that they're hearing about paying for long-term care? And what steps should family take to prepare for this financially?
I would say that a lot of the misconceptions are often around money. Just it's so expensive, or the government will take care of it and pay for everything, or, you know, different organizations will help pay for this stuff. What I find more often than not is that that's just not super accurate, right? It's just a matter of understanding, again, specifically from the home itself, if they're looking for a long-term care or retirement, there's different things that happen. In Canada, for instance, our long-term care is all the same price across Ontario, and it's regulated by the government. So it's online, you can get that information right away, whereas in retirement, it's very direct. And you need to be able to get that, again, from the horse's mouth. So really making a plan early, talking to the financial planners in your life and accountants as well, so that they can actually prepare and advocate like crazy. None of us have the luxury anymore of not advocating for basically anything. So in all kind of aspects of that, you need to be always advocating and looking for that information.
Absolutely. That's a great point. So shifting a little bit to aging in place and technology in the industry, you speak about aging in place 2.0 and the role of technology in helping seniors live independently. What are some of the most innovative tech solutions that can support aging in place?
I love tech solutions for aging in place. There's so much out there. And just like to really at the very, you know, scraping the surface, you know, I've seen a couple of things like GPS and shoe soles, for instance, for folks that have memory loss and they might go for a walk and get lost while they're doing that. And instead of saying, hey, mom and dad, let's move you to a residence and put you on a secured floor so you don't wander, let's do it this way instead. And with that, it's tech as well, but doorbells and door alarms also kind of fall in that. You know, protection of people that maybe wander risks or in an early stage of dementia where they don't really need to move yet, but we do need to put some things in place. And then other things I've seen, you know, there's all sorts of full setups for Google and Alexa, you know, cameras and doorbells. There's so much stuff to be able to set things up so that at a very minimum, people can monitor what's happening and then also enhance their life as they move on and have things like automatic lights come on when they come in the door and things like that. I think that tech for this sector is just beginning. We haven't even scraped the surface. The senior living industry as a whole is a little slow, to be honest. So I feel like tech is going to come in a really big way in the next little bit. And this stuff that I'm talking about is just very, very surface leveled at the moment.
Right, absolutely. Just a follow-up to that, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that seniors face when adopting these new technologies for aging in place? Do you think that there's any sort of barriers there that are going to prevent it from becoming bigger or faster?
I think that, you know, I've talked to a number of seniors recently, and you know, I think that tech has been designed for younger generations because it's come in younger generations. And so our 80 and 90 year olds are not as used to it, although many of them are very tech savvy. So not to be confused with that. But I do think that there's room in tech to not be as complicated. I feel like there's room that we can have these advancing solutions, but also do it in a way that we don't ostracize our now 80 and 90 year olds, and we make tech solutions, even if it's just a temporary solution for the next number of years. I think that we'd get more people using it. What we find a lot is some pushback from our older seniors because it's just one more thing they have to learn, and they don't really understand why they have to learn it or how it can really better their lives and impact their lives, because literally they've lived their whole life without it. And so it's one of those things that a lot of people might not take on unless their children set up and everything is working properly and monitored properly. And so I think there's a bit of a barrier for our older seniors at the moment, at this moment in time. And so if we can have some in-between options where it's not all, you know, gadgety and it's really kind of down to the basics, I think that that would also help a lot of people. And then it's not necessarily specifically tech, but we also have a lot of what's called pendant systems, right? The push button in case they fall, in case they need something.
Right.
Let's make it a little prettier, right? Like this, some of the stuff out there is kind of ugly. So, you know, make it a little bit more like something what people would wear, like an actual looking watch or things like that, as opposed to this weird giant button that they have to press if they fall, which they don't want to wear anyway because it's super ugly and they keep on their walker, right? So, you know, maybe a little bit more in design as well.
Right, absolutely. So how do you recommend caregivers assess and ensure that this technology meets both safety and emotional needs of the one that they're caring for?
I would say, you know, think about what you want the outcome to be, like, you know, what is the best way to set up things that they're not so complicated, but that they get it done without, you know, so much. I think using a little bit as opposed to going overboard with a lot of tech is better. And discussing it with their senior loved one. Nobody wants a camera showing up in their house without, you know, any discussion. So, like, keeping the lines of communication open. And I don't honestly know that it can address an emotional need as much with tech because, you know, emotions are coming from their loved ones. But what it can do is help with scheduling and different things like that so that it helps to get people present and involved in that way.
Yeah, that integration and coming together really goes a long way. We're speaking with Amy Friesen. She is founder and CEO of Tea and Toast and a best-selling author as well. We're talking all things elder care, and we're going to continue our conversation with her right after this. Stick around. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680. WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one with Mary Lucas and Jason Kong. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. I am Jason Kong here with Carson Sellers, who's in for Mary Lucas this week. Carson's with Transitions Life Care as well, and we are having a conversation with our guest, Amy Friesen. She is founder and CEO of Tea and Toast and a best-selling author as well, and we are really covering a wide range of topics when it comes to caregiving. And Carson, you know, we've touched on a lot really so far. And, you know, one of the things that we've sort of got into is this feeling of you're not alone. And I think that's such an important concept for caregivers because of the amount of work that's involved on a caregiving journey. And I know we want to get into the burden of caregiving and just how much that can take out of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to hearing about this next topic. So when it comes to caregiver burnout, burnout is a huge issue for many caregivers. What is caregiver burnout, and how would you say it's different than just the regular stress of caregiving?
I would say that more often than not, pretty much everybody I deal with or work with is in some form of burnout, whether it's just very light or whether it's getting really heavy. I feel like there are levels of burnout, but essentially caregiver burnout is being physically or emotionally or mentally exhausted. And it comes a lot from putting others' needs before your own, right? So think of the oxygen mask. We all need to put on our oxygen mask on the planes before assisting others. And I think that over a lot of time, sometimes it can be, you know, not a lot of time, maybe it's a couple of weeks if it's really intense, but over some time, things start to build up and you're servicing and you're caring for someone else constantly, whether it's your child, whether it's your loved one, whether it's your spouse, whether anybody except yourself. And you're always kind of outputting that energy and eventually you need to fill your own cup. And I think that that's different than burning out from work, for instance, and, you know, maybe you've got tight deadlines and you're dealing with it. I do feel like there's burnout associated with that, but I feel like that comes into a little bit of a different pot of emotions. And when you're dealing with the caregiver side of it, it's really that there's just no time for you and there's no time to fill up your own cup, or at least it feels like that, because a lot of caregivers cannot get that respite time. And honestly, when we do get that respite time, we're worrying about something else. We're worrying about what's happening at home when we're not there. It's constant.
Right. Yes, it can be easy to forget to prioritize yourself when you're constantly caring for someone else. That is 100% true. What are some of these warning signs of caregiver burnout, and how can people recognize when they might need help with this?
I would say that a lot of the time what I see is people being aloof. They just kind of shut down. They come off a lot as not caring, but I don't think that that's what's happening. I think that they just can't care anymore. And it's just, I'm exhausted. I have fatigue. I have mental cloudiness. I can't think straight. I just cannot do it once more, right? Like, I cannot go and help my loved one do this task once more. I need to be at home. But it's not a choice, I don't think. It's not like, I'm just going to take the day and be at home. It's that I can't actually get out of bed, or I can't actually get, you know, off of this chair or whatnot and go out in the world. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to take on anymore. That's often what I find when we're dealing with folks in caregiver burnout.
Yeah, absolutely. So when this starts happening, when people start noticing these signs, what advice do you have for these caregivers who are feeling overwhelmed and need to take a step back for their own well-being without feeling guilty about doing that?
I often tell people guilt happens. It happens whether you do something, or it happens whether you don't. And so my best strategy around this is learn how to dance with guilt and really understand that if you take the time, there'll be guilt associated because you're not the one caring for the loved one that you've been caring for. You're taking a break. And if you don't take it, then there'll be guilt of not taking care of yourself or not taking care of something else that you should be taking care of. And so my best advice is really to dance with it and learn that guilt's just a part of it all. We're not going to get rid of it. And it's an emotion like a lot of other things. So just learning that it's just going to be there and figuring out for you what that coping mechanism looks like, because it's not the same for everybody. We all deal with guilt differently. And some of us have been cued, you know, in our younger years too, that a lot of us have had a lot of guilt in our lives when we're growing up. And so it's really ingrained. And so in this caregiver opportunity with our loved ones, really having an understanding of your own self and how you've dealt with guilt and moving forward to say, you know, okay, I am going to take this, like, regardless of if I feel guilty, I'm just going to feel the feelings, but I am going to take the time, because if I don't take the time, then other things will start falling apart and it's probably going to get worse.
Absolutely. And guilt definitely shows that you care about who you're caring for. So that's very important. Shifting to, I know that you've been in the industry for a very long time and you've worked with countless families facing difficult decisions about senior care. Is there a story that you can share with the listeners about a challenging but ultimately positive transition with a family in their care journey?
For sure. As you can expect, I have hundreds of not positive stories,
sure.
But I have a recent one that actually I was working with a family for, it's been a year now, and they came to me, and mom has dementia and dad has Parkinson's and dementia, and mom was giving dad pills, but in Parkinson's you need quite a lot of different pills in very specific times. And so as you can imagine, as a professional, I'm looking at a situation that is just about to erupt, and they didn't want to move. And they, of course, they live on this huge farm with this huge house and lots of stairs. The whole situation was kind of grim. But, you know, we worked through it. And sometimes it just takes a little bit longer. And what they wanted, and when they came to me, was they wanted to look into independent options. They wanted to look into the independent options so that they could replicate, I guess, what they kind of had there. Which we looked at, right? Even though I knew they would need more care down the way, we looked at these options so that they felt that they were in the driver's seat, which they were, and educated them on those options. But what was interesting is as we started touring, they started kind of leaning into the fact of, well, you know, I don't want to move again. I do want some extra care around if this happens. And then they kind of got paused for a while still because they were just stuck in this indecision zone. But then things started to really kind of escalate at home. And what ended up happening was eventually, a year later, finally, they've taken my advice of getting a community that does all-encompassing care, which would also take care of any dementia care, and have that full continuum so that they could actually move in, still very independent, but just be surrounded with people that can do this care for them, so that the wife could go back to being the wife and not the caregiver. Right. And then her husband could be properly cared for and his pills could be properly done in hopes that things could stabilize, because they were starting to get pretty rocky, I have to say. And in fact, they actually move in the next week coming up here. So we found the perfect spot. We found the perfect suite, and they're all getting on board slowly but surely. But I think that the family has a sigh of relief now, because they finally got into this part. But it was pretty bleak for a while. But it tends to happen a lot with our quite more independent clients. This has been an interesting situation because they did need some very specific care that was progressive care. So I'm very happy to, you know, see it come to this kind of close, where we've kind of gotten them in the community where, you know, we thought they should be in the first place, but it just took them a little bit longer to get there.
Finding that right fit really does go a long way. We're speaking with Amy Friesen. She is founder and CEO of Tea and Toast and a best-selling author. And we're going to continue our conversation with Amy right after this. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680 WPTF. News, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Hey, be sure to check out transitionslifecare.org if you are interested in finding information about events going on in the community, ways to connect. Resources are available for you there as well. transitionslifecare.org. I'm Jason Kong in the studio today with Carson Sellers, who's filling in for Mary Lucas with Transitions Life Care. And we are having a conversation today with Amy Friesen, who's founder and CEO of Tea and Toast and a best-selling author, and we've covered a wide range of topics related to caregiving and elder care. And Carson, where should we go to next?
All right, as we close things off, just some final thoughts to kind of wrap things up. What would you say is the most rewarding part of your work in senior care, and what keeps you motivated to continue helping families even through some of the more difficult times?
Oh, there's a lot to be said for rewarding. There's a lot of different things. One of them is seeing the pure relief of someone on someone's face when they feel supported and when they have that education and info so they can actually make an educated decision. So many people are out there bouncing around trying to put the pieces of this really complicated puzzle together. And when people tell us, when we're out in the field and people tell us, you know, you're asking questions that I wouldn't have ever thought of, or thank you so much for, you know, getting us through this. And it's been so much easier with your help. That's really gratifying for me. The other side of that is, you know, I just moved someone that was not in a great situation, and we moved them to another retirement residence, and she is over the moon. She's so excited to be there. She's partaking in everything. And really just that sheer joy. I mean, that's why I got in the business in the first place, is to help people and let them experience retirement living, specifically in this case, and that, you know, it can be so much easier. You don't have to be isolated. You don't have to be struggling for nutrition and cooking and getting groceries. There's a better way for some people. And that's one of them, just seeing that joy on their face.
That's awesome. For families just starting to navigate the senior care world, what is one key piece of advice you would give them? I know that's a tricky one.
Yeah. Well, the elder care journey requires planning, patience, and perseverance. And so you're in it for the long haul, and really try to set it up as best as possible, right? Don't stick your head in the sand and expect things are just going to come together. Really make a plan for elder care. And honestly, the sooner rather than better, because I would rather have someone make a plan 10 years early and tweak that plan as their life changes than have to dig someone out of a crisis situation because they didn't make a plan. And so that's really the best piece of advice is make sure that your ducks are in a row, regardless of how early you feel that that might be.
Yeah, absolutely. Planning is very important. I'm sure your book helps with that as well. Is there anything else that you would like to add in closing, just about anything that we talked about that the listeners might find beneficial?
I just want to tell your listeners, you're doing a great job. Honestly, you know, as caregivers, you're doing a great job. And all of us can only do what we can do. And if you can't take it on, then there's other options. You don't have to take on everything yourself, and what you're capable of taking on and what you feel that you can do on your own is perfectly acceptable. And you don't have to be a superhuman. You can just stay in your lane and do what you can do and farm out the rest. So you're doing a great job.
That's very nice. And that's very true. So are there anything exciting that you can share with us about your plans moving forward? Or are you just going to keep doing what you're doing, going strong, or anything you'd like to share?
Well, I think that we're going to keep going strong, and I have some additional resources that I'm going to be putting out for people. I always love when people let me know kind of what they're looking for, because then I can curate things very specific to what the needs are in the community. So I would say we're going to keep moving forward with these educational resources and courses, and I'm sure there's going to be some exciting things for the next coming year.
Awesome. And where can our listeners find more information about your work, your book, Breadcrumbs, and the resources you offer through Tea and Toast? If you could just share a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. Over on teaandtoast.ca. You can find a variety of the resources we talked about, including a lot of free downloads. There's webinars, there's courses, and of course, there's a link to my book, Breadcrumbs, there as well. It's a large hub of information. And so pretty much anything you need, you can find there. And if not, email me and I'll make it for you.
And Amy, we got to ask you about the podcast. You know, we're in that world. Tell us a little bit about your podcast and how folks can get a hold of that.
Sure. So actually, I'm in the middle of reinventing my podcast. The Artful Aging with Amy has been very successful. People have gotten a lot of information from that podcast, which is over on amyfriesen.com. But I'm actually reinventing it a little bit to help our sandwich generation out and broadening my topics, because as a sandwich generation person myself, there's a lot of different things that I need to plan for and have information on. And so I want to broaden it a little bit so that we can help a little bit of a broader audience, whether they're taking care of children or themselves or the seniors in their lives.
Wonderful. I mean, there's so much information. You know, anyone who's in this world is kind of starved for that kind of information. So we appreciate anything that you can add as in terms of a resource. And we look forward to seeing what the new form of the podcast and the broadening of that will look like.
Absolutely.
In the future. Want to thank Amy Friesen, founder and CEO of Tea and Toast and bestselling author, for being our guest today. Amy, thank you so much. This was a wonderful chat, and we really appreciate your time and your expertise.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really enjoyed my time.
Excellent. If you want to catch a replay of this episode, be sure to go to WPTF.com. From there, you can find the Aging Matters section. You can find information about the program as well as past episodes. And you can find the Aging Matters podcast wherever you get your podcast. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Carson Sellers, who has done a masterful job filling in for
you.
Mary Lucas today. Great job, Carson. It's always a little unnerving that first time flying without the guide rope, but you did an excellent job and had some great questions for Amy. So we appreciate it. And we will be having some great shows around the holidays, as that is always a challenging time for caregivers and those who maybe have lost a loved one or a spouse in the past year. We'll have some episodes dedicated to grief around the holidays and how best to handle that. We've got plenty of resources, again, at TransitionsLifeCare.org, TransitionsLifeCare.org. If you want to find information about Transitions Life Care, connect with someone, maybe you need grief counseling yourself, there's plenty of information all available for you at TransitionsLifeCare.org. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Carson Sellers, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you so much for listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to TransitionsLifeCare.org.